Today is the feast of the Ascension of our Lord. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all things which Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs for 40 days, appearing to them, and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard, he saith, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. They therefore, who were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, It is not for you to know the times or moments which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. Please stand for today's Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Mark. At that time, as the 11 were at table, Jesus appeared to them, and he upbraided them with their incredulity and hardness of heart, because they did not believe them who had seen him after he was risen again. And he said to them, Go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. And the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God. But they, going forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with all, and confirming the word with signs that followed. Thus are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. It is expedient for you that I should go. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A certain man had the great grace of visiting the Curia of Ars. He made the pilgrimage with thousands of others, and he came back, and he declared, I have seen God in a man. And seeing and hearing and being able to approach the Curia of Ars, he was able to see, to hear, and to approach God. My dear faithful, our human hearts, they're made for God, and they long to be with God. And if this is true, that a priest, certainly a very holy priest, but a human, another Christ, was able to stir this up in so many that thousands flocked to see him, thousands flocked to be able to fulfill this longing they had to touch God, so to speak. What must it have been with Christ himself? If so many were flocking to the Curia of Ars, what must it have been with Christ himself, Emmanuel, God with us? Mankind had waited for thousands upon thousands of years for our Lord to appear. They had waited to see the face of God. And now finally, in our Lord Jesus Christ, they saw the face of God. They waited to be able to hear the voice of God, and in him they heard it. They waited to lay hold of, to touch God. And in our Lord they did. They laid hold of God. They touched him. And this is what enamored St. John so much. Even as a very old man, he was still filled by that idea. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. He was so fascinated by this. I was able to lay my head on the Sacred Heart of God. And that's why today, my dear faithful, We can well imagine that there must have been some sadness in the apostles as our Lord was taken from them. They certainly rejoiced because they loved our Lord, and today he entered into his glory. But we can't help but imagine that there would have been a shadow there, a shadow of sadness, because he was separating himself from them, that bodily presence which they had so enjoyed, to be able to see, to touch, to be with God, that was leaving them. And so we can easily hear them saying as he goes up into heaven, "Remain with us, Lord, for it is growing towards evening. The time is dark, the days are evil, stay with us, don't leave us." Just as he withdrew himself from his apostles, his bodily presence, he did so for us as well. We know, of course, that he's still here with us. "I am with you all days. I will not leave you orphans." We know he's here, but he's here in a very hidden way. So we too, because he has been taken from our view, we can say with the apostles, "Remain with us, Lord. It's growing dark. It's very dark." Yes, there'd be a temptation for us, my dear faithful, to think, well, wouldn't it have been better after all if our Lord stayed on earth? Wouldn't that have been better for us? He could have just governed the church himself. We wouldn't have had a pope that's doing the things and saying the things our pope is doing. He could have submitted all nations to his rule. We wouldn't have these Freemasonic governments rebelling against him. He would have converted so many souls. If souls were flocking to him during his life, so much so that the Pharisees said, "Look, the whole world goes after him." What would it have been if he remained on earth and kept working those miracles, preaching with that authority? Indeed, the whole world, we think, would go after him. Yet our Lord, he knows better. Our Lord, he knew that it was the wisest thing, the best thing, for him to ascend into heaven, to remove that bodily presence from us. And he didn't do it, of course, because he wanted to cause us pain. He did it because he, as the incarnate wisdom, knew that it would be for the best. "It is expedient for you that I go." Our Lord knew that by withdrawing himself from us, he would give us something better than if he had stayed with us until the end of time. And so it's for us to contemplate, well, why then? It seems it would have been better for him to stay, but he went. Why? And the answer is because it's good for our salvation. Our Lord, he wanted us to have faith. Faith is the very beginning and the foundation of our sanctification. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so by ascending into heaven, he allows us to exercise this faith. And how is that? It's because faith is of things unseen. We have faith when we don't see, but we say, "Yes, Lord, I know it's true." Just like Abraham, he was asked to sacrifice the son of promise, the son through whom he would become a great nation, the son who would be the forefather of the Messiah, the son of promise. He was told, "Sacrifice him." How perplexed Abraham must have been. "I don't see. How on earth is God going to fulfill these promises if I have to sacrifice my son Isaac? I don't see, but I believe." And so he went through with it. And God, he rewarded him. Abraham was justified, was sanctified by this tremendous act of faith. And this lies the whole trial of our faith, my dear faithful. Our faith, it's blind in a way, and we have to simply say, "I don't understand, but I believe." But there's a great reward in it. Our Lord told us, "Blessed are they who have not seen and have believed." We don't see now, but we will see in heaven. You will be very blessed Because this trial of faith, when you don't see and you don't understand, it will be rewarded with the vision of God in heaven, where you will see. You will see God as he knows himself. You will know God as he knows himself. And that is why our Lord took his bodily presence from us. I go to the Father, and you shall see me no longer. You will not see me. And he allows us to make these acts of faith, which we have to make to get to heaven. We make these acts of faith when we believe that he's in the Blessed Sacrament on the altar right now, that he truly teaches, rules, and sanctifies his church in the person of his vicar, the Pope, that he's truly represented by the priest when the priest sits in the confessional when he says Mass. He's still there. Faith, when we see the church so dark, in such a crisis, and the world so dark, and we say, I know that our Lord is still in charge. I know that he will honor his promise. I am with you to the end of the world, to the consummation of the world. We make this act of faith. So for him to withdraw from us is a good thing. But it's good too because it allows us to humble our pride. By him leaving, he chose for his presence to be continued on this earth until the end of time by his priesthood. These other human beings, these weak, frail human beings who are to represent him. And he has asked you, my dear faithful, not to go to him to tell him, dear Lord, I've sinned, forgive me. He tells you to say that to him, but through his priest, to kneel to another human being who represents him, who takes his place, and say, I've sinned. And this is necessary to humble our pride, to bring down that terrible pride which led us into original sin and leads us into every other sin we commit. It was good for him to withdraw from us. But he also withdrew from us because he wants us to fix our gaze on heaven. He wants us to remember that we're not made for this world. If he remained on this earth, would we have been any different than the Jews at his time? The Jews who were looking for an earthly Messiah, for this reign of the Messiah on earth, a paradise on earth. Would we have been any different? Would we have been in the crowd that said Hosanna and then crucify him? He wanted to go to heaven, to draw our eyes to heaven, because he's our treasure. And where your treasure is, there also your heart lies. So our treasure, our Lord, goes to heaven to draw our hearts to heaven so that our hearts can remain fixed there and he could draw us. Because remember, he goes to prepare a place for us. He is drawing us to our true purpose to be with God in heaven, not to be on this earth. And so it was good for him to withdraw. My dear faithful, as it was very good for his church in general for him to withdraw, it's also very good for our own souls for him to withdraw from us at times. We have those times when he's very near. He's almost palpable. We can almost touch him. We sense that he's there. And even in those times when it's difficult, it's not so difficult because he's there. He consoles us. But there are times when he withdraws. And just as he withdrew from his church because he knew it would be better, he withdraws within our own soul at times because he knows it's for our good. He does it because sometimes we haven't been very faithful to him. Those times when we slack in our spiritual life, when we start saying, it's okay, I'm going to skip my rosary. It's okay, I'll just watch those other YouTube videos. It's okay, I'll keep sleeping in or I'll eat just for the pleasure of eating all day long. And he says, okay, I'm going to withdraw from you. I'm going to withdraw that consolation you had because I want to wake you up. I want to give you this little gentle slap, this little punishment, not because I don't love you, but because I love you. Because I want you to come back to your practices so you can draw closer to me. So I'm going to withdraw for a time. Sometimes, though, a soul doesn't do anything wrong, and our Lord still withdraws. And he does that because he wants to dispose that soul for greater graces. And so he tests the soul. Will you continue if I withdraw for a time? Will you be faithful? And once he sees, yes, the soul, it is faithful, despite the fact that everything's dry, everything's sad and gloomy, he blesses that soul. He comes back to that soul and gives it 100-fold what it had lost. This certainly happened to St. Thérèse of Lisieux. When she was in that darkness before her death, she said, I'm in a tunnel. She received no consolation from heaven. The devil constantly telling her, God doesn't exist. There is no heaven. All she could say is, my God, I love you. My God, I love you. My God, I love you. Even though in her heart she felt nothing. But because of that, she became the great saint we know her as. And because of that, she showers roses upon us now. Our Lord withdrew from her in order to give her much more. And so when we have those times when he seems to withdraw, we have to remember that it doesn't mean that we're on the path to hell. Not that at all. Perhaps our Lord is drawing us higher, drawing us closer to him. And in those times, we have to persevere, show him our fidelity. And remember, most of all, in those times, as St. Francis de Sales tells us, we have to seek the God of consolation, not the consolations of God. It's good for our Lord to withdraw from our souls sometimes, my dear faithful. But there is one time when our Lord withdraws, which we should fear more than anything. These other times, it's not bad. It's expedient for you that I go. It's good for you. But there's one time when it's not good for us. There is one time when he withdraws, not because he wants to. He withdraws because we make him. He withdraws because we say, I don't want you here anymore. I choose sin. Then he withdraws. And he will withdraw if we die in that state for all eternity. And we'll be separated from him forever. This is the one time we should fear him withdrawing. But the other times, my dear faithful, don't fear it. It's expedient for us. It's good for us. Our good Lord, he does everything for our good. And so if he withdraws, it's for our best. He wishes to bless us 100-fold. This little trial he asks of us, it's momentary. It'll pass. And it works an eternal weight of glory. An eternal weight of glory. He goes to prepare a place for us. He wants to reward us by separating himself for a short time. He wants to reward us with his presence for eternity. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.